Hi, Claire and James here. Just before we get stuck into this week's episode, we wanted to let you know the exciting news that the Midlife Reset Audit is now live. This is a first of its kind personalised diagnostic tool designed for midlifers by midlifers.
In just 3 minutes, the audit will help you pinpoint what's really holding you back from living your healthiest, happiest midlife. And most importantly, provide tailored strategies on how to take back control. Midlife doesn't have to be a time of uncertainty. It can be an era of growth, discovery and well-being. So to go ahead and take the audit, go to themidlifementors.com/audit. Procrastination. We all do it, but what happens when it's stopping us from moving forward with goals that are truly important to us? We can get really stuck in a rut with this, believing that we'll never move ahead, which makes us procrastinate even more.
In this episode, we discuss why we procrastinate, what kinds of people suffer from it the most, and what are the main psychological drivers for this behaviour. Finally, as always, we share 10 tips that will help you overcome procrastination so you can finally stop holding yourself back and live the life you deserve.
Hi, I'm James Davis.
And I'm Claire Davis.
We're the Midlife Mentors, here to lift a lid on how to achieve health and happiness.
The balanced, no-nonsense way.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Midlife Mentors podcast with me, James.
He's very excited today. And me, Claire. You're very excitable today.
Well, you went away for the night, so I'm just excited to have you back.
I am back. I had a lovely little evening away with a friend, and I am back, and the sun is shining, and it's Friday.
All good reasons to be excited.
I know. No, it's very sweet. You're a bit like Tigger, though. Just need to, I don't know how this podcast is going to go with Tigger next to me. So let's see. But what have we been up to? We've been finishing touches to lots of work. We've just been generally having fun, haven't we? Even with the work.
It's been busy, but it's been fun work.
There's been some technological, if I can get the word out, hitches, hasn't there?
They have.
Don't know whether anyone else has had any tech problems in the last week or so, but that meant there were a few times where we wanted to throw the laptop out the window, but apart from that, it's very good. Very good.
It's all good. And our audit that we keep talking about, you know what?
It's live next week.
It's ready. So it won't be live. It won't be right. It won't be live yet, but next week it will be.
If you were on the waiting list, and we had loads of you on the waiting list, which is really lovely because it's been at the beginning of this podcast and we've put the message out there and people joined the waiting list to be the first people to do the audit, you are going to be receiving an email in the next like 24 hours. So if you are, actually, they'll have probably all gone out by the time this podcast goes out, to be honest. So check your email. Anyway, today we are talking about procrastination and James made a very funny joke. Go on, say the joke.
We were going to record this days ago, but we've only just got around to it.
Boom. Oh dear. So we're talking about procrastination because, well, this is something that comes up for all of us, right? None of us, I don't think, unless you're just superhuman, I'm sorry, there will be things in your life that you procrastinate. In fact, because I went away for the evening, I didn't get up and go to the gym this morning. I'm procrastinating about going to the gym.
But is that why he also went to bed for a snooze?
I didn't sleep well. You're horrible. So you can't tell on me. You would have been a terrible sibling. So anyway, we're talking about procrastination because we all do it, and about 20, apparently, according to research, 20 to 25% of people procrastinate chronically, which is a real problem for people because obviously when we procrastinate chronically and we have goals and dreams that we want to achieve, if we're procrastinating all the time, we're not reaching those goals and dreams and we're not living our life to the fullest. So it can be incredibly frustrating for people because they don't know why they're doing it. You know, they want to so desperately move ahead and they don't know why they keep procrastinating. Yeah. So in this podcast, we're going to be talking to you about why that is, why we procrastinate, what kind of people procrastinate. And then we're going to give you, as always, 10 tips 10 tips at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like this is a real rut people can get into.
A rut.
Yeah, I've been there myself, where, you know, you kind of wake up, you go, right, today, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get these things done. And then for whatever reason, you just delay, you get to the end of the day, and you're like, oh, I didn't do any of that. And you feel really bad about yourself. You're like, right, tomorrow I will. And then you don't. It becomes like almost like a, it can be a hard cycle to break out of.
Yeah. And we speak to clients about this a lot. We really do. And I think the most important thing is that we have empathy for ourselves. We have compassion for ourselves, and we realize that we're not alone with this. It happens to everyone. The really interesting thing about procrastination that I've noticed, and I can definitely say for myself as well, procrastinators are often also perfectionists.
Ah, oh, the buddy of procrastination, yeah, is perfection.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason it's mainly perfectionists is because when they tackle a job, when they want, you know, when there's something they really want to do, or they're tackling a job or a task, they want to do it as to the best of their ability. And this is a great thing, okay? It's not a bad thing, but they want to do it to the best of their ability. The problem with that, if there's any self-doubt, any anxiety that they might not do that task or complete that job perfectly, then a lot of the time procrastination can set in, and they'd actually rather not do it at all than in their head fail at it. And I can really, really resonate with this.
And that links back to our psychological need for safety as well, doesn't it? Which I know we're going to touch on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with perfectionists, they can be, it's not just about how they feel about getting the job done. It's how they think other people are going to perceive them.
Yeah.
So it might be actually their,
it's that judgment.
Exactly. And they're worrying about what people might think if they don't do something perfectly. But the truth bomb is obviously no, perfectionism, you know, perfect doesn't exist. No one gets everything right completely all the time. And actually the only person judging you most, honestly, we over-catastrophize this so much. The only person that's really judging ourselves is ourselves. And so those two kind of characteristics really go in hand, perfectionism and procrastination.
Definitely. Well, another thing that can go hand in hand, actually, and it's interesting because it can be both a cause, I think, and a symptom, and that is depression. So, you know, in a way, when you're depressed, when you're feeling down, you've got that low mood, you can find it hard to actually be motivated to think about planning ahead. You can lose confidence in your ability to do things. So then you can procrastinate. But as I said before, yeah, that rut you can get in of like, oh, well, I didn't achieve anything, can also lead to depression. So it's both a cause and effect. So that's what I mean about it. It can be quite a difficult cycle to break out of sometimes for people.
Yeah, and then we have this whole way that our brain is set up. So I know we've talked a lot about the inner chimp. I love the book, The Chimp Paradox. I recommend it to lots of our clients. But, you know, that inner chimp wants instant gratification. And also, we are set up in a world where we have been primed to believe that instant gratification is not only possible, but the best thing to do. You know, I want it and I want it now. So if there's a task that we need to complete, if there's something that we really want to go for, that inner chimp is always going to want to go for the instant gratification. It's going to want to pull you towards instant gratification rather than long-term gains, because actually they're two different parts of the brain. And so you'll be thinking when you sit down to do that task that you've been remunerating over, you know, I've got to do this, and the results and the payoff and how I'm going to feel when I've done it is X, Y, and Z. But you can still get floored by that inner chimp just going, oh, don't worry about it. Why don't you go and feel happy now? Get the dopamine hit now by going off and doing X, Y, and Z rather than that, because we are dopamine freaks. We want the dopamine hit. We want the instant gratification. Yeah. So we're kind of working against our own psychology there.
Classic example of this is, you know, you sit down to do the work. You're like, right, this is the moment. I'm going to nail this chapter, this email. You're like, oh, I'll just check to see if that neon sign on Temu has changed price.
Exactly.
Yeah, 5 hours later, you've got a container full of tat winging its way from China towards you, and you haven't achieved the thing you wanted to achieve.
I'm pleased to say James doesn't do this.
I don't do that. But I know plenty of people do, right?
People
get lost in the scroll hole. They can start to adopt other behaviors, like, shopping is something people are jumping into now. It's so easy to do online shopping. It's almost like a form of avoidance they can fall into. It's something, doing the thing they want to do.
Yeah, well, it is avoidance, isn't it? You know, the pain, the long-term that the short-term pain, basically, for the long-term gain is something that we just don't want to experience. We just want that instant gratification. Yeah. Like, if we think that something's going to be hard, which, let's be honest, you know, when we've got goals to go for, they're not going to be easy because, you know, life is full of, you know, hard choices that we need to make that, you know, we're going to experience the result in the long term, but not necessarily in the short term. But we're constantly going for that, as I said, that instant gratification. And when we think that something's going to be hard, we distract ourselves. We do something else rather than thinking about how hard it's going to be. So we just don't get started.
Yeah.
Another thing is keeping ourselves safe. I don't know whether you want to explain the psychology around this.
Yeah, so the psychology of this is the role of our subconscious is to keep us safe. But safe for the subconscious basically means that you're alive and functioning. It doesn't put parameters on about how happy you are or anything like that. It's just like you're alive and functioning. So often it will seek to maintain the status quo, like keep you where you are, rather than risk changing something, which could be a threat to your survival, by taking a step in a different direction. So this can be another reason that we procrastinate. It's classic self-sabotage.
It's because
the subconscious is telling us, like, oh, you know, things are all right at the moment. You're comfortable. Don't do anything to rock the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the resistance that we come up against so much. And it's just awful to see this, you know, especially when I'm doing like some one-to-one coaching with clients. So we've got part of our brain that's saying, no, don't worry. We can just stay safe. Even though there's this other part that's going, no, I need to get this done because I know it's going to make me happy. There's this other part of our brain that's saying, don't worry, you can put it off. Let's just stay where we are. Why don't you watch some Netflix? Why don't you surf the internet? Why don't you do that? And yet, you know, then that's the part of the brain that also then later on starts beating you up for not being good enough because you haven't done what you said you were going to do. So this part of the brain can be really, really sneaky. It can tell you that it doesn't matter. All these kind of lies. It doesn't matter. You can do it later. Actually, you're happy where you are. And then it will tell you later on when you haven't done it, well, I knew you wouldn't do it. You never do it. You're such an undisciplined person. You know, you're so, you know, you're not motivated. You're never going to get this done. And all of that, the torrent of abuse that part of your brain can also, you know, start saying to you. So hopefully some of those things that we've explained there kind of give you an idea about the subconscious mind, because what we always say is we've got the conscious mind. It's like an iceberg. We've got the conscious mind. It's the tip of the iceberg that we can see. And then underneath it, underneath the water, is all of this stuff going on that we feel flummoxed and bamboozled. I love both of those words. Flummoxed and bamboozled about, because we're like, I cannot understand what's driving this behaviour. If I really want this stuff, why can't I get my stuff? And this is really about understanding, really deep diving, and this is where coaching is so helpful, deep diving into what's really going on there with like our limiting beliefs, the stories we are telling ourselves, what we can do to use some tools to actually work with that voice, to soften that voice, to understand that voice, and to I suppose actually take back the power from that voice, because there's another part of ourselves that is the adult, the sovereign, the soul divine part of ourselves that is all-knowing, all-powerful, knows what it needs to do, wants to get on with it, and then there's this other part. So it's about knowing that those two are kind of like separate and you're not necessarily that voice.
Yes. Another reason we can procrastinate, of course, is self-doubt. I mean, that's kind of linked to everything we've said, but you could really doubt whether what you're doing is worthwhile or have doubt in your own capabilities and abilities to achieve it.
Yeah, and that anxiety as well.
And anxiety.
And anxiety is a really big one as well, like that anxiety about what if I get it wrong? What does my life look like if I don't, you know, sometimes we procrastinate because we're scared of being happy.
Yeah.
Like we procrastinate because what will my life look like? What will need to change if I do reach that goal. So that's a really sneaky thing as well that our subconscious mind does. Like,
I was going to say, often that's an unconscious belief that we might not even be that aware of.
No, absolutely.
Like, oh, why do I keep sabotaging for myself to this thing that I really want?
It's I'm
actually because there's a part of you that's afraid to have the thing you want.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is the kind of stuff we dig into with our coaching clients.
Yeah, and I'm aware
it comes up for so many people.
So many people, and I'm aware. Obviously, when we're talking about the different parts of ourselves, some people might get a little bit confused. But you know, actually, it's quite helpful to go back. What was the podcast we did on shadow work? It's kind of a really similar thing to the different elements of ourselves. But we can really identify a lot of the time with these thoughts that we are having and these feelings that we are having. And sometimes it's really helpful to understand that there is a different part of our brain, almost like a different entity that we can separate from ourselves, so we can step back and have a conversation with it and actually start feeling like it's not controlling us, and actually that we can take back control and be more empowered. So what are some of the tips? Like, so we've kind of gone over there, like what procrastination is, why we do it, what kind of people procrastinate. It's absolutely mainly perfectionists. Then, you know, the instant gratifications, it's about keeping ourselves safe and worrying at that anxiety and worrying about not getting the job done perfectly. You know, what people might think about us. Maybe it's that we're holding ourselves back from even being happy, because we don't know how our life might change if that happens. So what can we start doing? What kind of tips? This is the most important thing. What can we start to do now to start moving ourselves forward? So number one is, I kind of mentioned this earlier, really become aware of the story you are telling yourself. So start becoming aware of that piece underneath, the iceberg underneath the water. What are you really telling yourself? What are some of the beliefs and the stories? Is it that you don't feel worthy enough to reach your goals, and so you're kind of like procrastinating and not even getting started? Are you afraid of failure? Is that stopping you getting started? Are you a real people pleaser and you're just really anxious and nervous that people might judge you if you don't get things done perfectly? Do you actually just tell yourself you're not a motivated person all the time, that you procrastinate all the time? Because if you tell yourself these stories, guess what? These are going to be truths for you, and you're going to manifest them in your actions. So whatever we tell ourselves, our inner belief systems, we always say we cannot outperform our own self-identity. So whatever you're thinking about yourself inside is going to manifest in your actions.
Tip number two is to just actually get going, right? Because action creates self-belief. And there's a bit of a catch-22 here, you know. If we haven't achieved a result yet, it can be hard sometimes to have belief in our ability to achieve it. But if we wait for that belief to come when we're not taking action towards it, of course, we're not going to get the result. We're not going to have the belief. So then we need to take the bull by the horns and actually start doing the action, knowing that after a point when we start getting the results, when we start seeing the results of our endeavors, then we'll start to build that self-belief. And we're always saying, you know, look, momentum breeds momentum. Just take a step in a direction, and actually just taking that action will get things moving again.
It really will. It really will. It will unstick you.
Yeah.
The next one is set goals. So first of all, set goals. And, you know, we talk about the SMART acronym. Everyone's heard about this, I'm sure. It still makes me feel a little bit sick from my corporate days. But like, we set so many goals in our career. We might set goals for our family, all of that kind of stuff. But it's really important that we set personal goals. And for you to spend the time really thinking about, you know, specific goals that you want, making them achievable, making them measurable, and setting a time limit to it. Don't just set arbitrary goals. What are the goals? What time limits are you going to set with those? And the most important part is the emotion behind it, your why. Why do you want these goals? What's it going to give you in life? How's it going to make you feel? How's life going to be different? Really get into the emotional connection of your goal, because that is the thing that will drive you forward. When that little inner chimp is going, no, don't worry about it. You know, you can put it off till tomorrow. It's quite safe here. We like it here. It's going to be that kind of visualization, that really visualize, really emotionally connect with how you're going to feel, how life is going to be different when you achieve that goal, because it will help you get over the hump of procrastinating. Mm.
Tip number four is another horrible saying, eat the frog. What do we mean by that? It's like get the thing that you're dreading out the way first. Because here's what we'll do. What's natural inclination to is like, oh, I'm really dreading doing that thing. You know what? I'll put that off for a bit. I'll work on something else. Then I'll have a coffee. And when I'm feeling up to it, you know what? Just get it done first thing. There's research out there that shows we have more motivation earlier in the day, number one. Number two, once you do it, you'll get a real sense of satisfaction and that's out of the way and actually lift you up for the rest of the day. So that thing you're putting off, do it first.
Absolutely. Which is why I'm struggling with the gym today. see, it happens to us all. The next one, number five, is create routine. So our subconscious mind loves routine. It loves that safety, like we've already explained. It loves to know where it stands, and it gets stress. When it's stressed, it's normally because we're out of routine. So regain control over your life by creating routine. And in that sense, it's actually going to help stop the procrastination, because if you are just getting up, or you're going to work and you're willy-nilly just doing things here, there and everywhere, and there's no structure to your day, I can tell you that's going to be the moment when that inner chimp comes in and goes, oh no, don't worry, just sit and, you know, watch Netflix, just flick through social media. If you've got a structure and a routine, you're going to be very empowered, very in control. You're going to know where you're at. You've got that sense of safety. You're going to release the stress, and that procrastination is way less likely to come in and, you know, smash you down to the ground. So creating routine is really, really important.
Definitely massive. Six, use the power of modeling. By this, I mean, not Cindy Crawford style modeling, but.
All right there, Mr. 90s. Going to be talking about Claudia Schiffer in a minute.
Oh, don't, you're getting me bothered. But it's like modelling the behaviour and the beliefs of someone that has achieved the thing you want to achieve. So it's like, what would a motivated person do, think and say? How would they behave? What would their beliefs be? Now, this could be a real person, right? You could go, oh, you know, I've got a business venture. What would Richard Branson believe about this? What would he do? What would he say? And it's very important. You don't need to know those things. Of course, you don't know them. You just imagine what he would do. Or you can make up like a fictional character, like an alter ego. And this is another area of psychology where we give ourselves an alter ego. So Beyonce does this, doesn't she?
She's got an alter ego. There's been an amazing book about this as well, the alter ego.
But it's about stepping into that, I guess, that other identity that has what you need to succeed. And that is really, really powerful.
Yeah, it's and actually reading those every morning, or even actually every single day, getting up and kind of writing out, okay, what would a motivated person do that isn't a procrastinator? What would they think? What would they say? What would they do? And then reading those and writing them out every single morning, so you can kind of really embed those different beliefs about yourself. The next one, number seven, is reward yourself. Now, this is really, really important. Rewarding yourself is really important. Now, it could be for some short little tasks. It could be for a longer task when you've completed it. What I would say around this, don't make the reward so far away that you are just thinking, I'm never going to get to it. At the maximum, I would say, you know, give yourself rewards every week, you know, like some way. Maybe it's a date night. Maybe it's going, you know, to your favourite theatre. Maybe it's, I don't know, seeing a friend. Whatever it is to you, you can actually have, I always say you have like a little jar. This is another little trick that we have spoken to clients about before. Have a little jar of like things that make you feel like really good. Write them down on a piece of paper, like having my nails done, having a massage, seeing a friend, going to the theatre, watching a movie, all these sorts of things, and put them in this little jar. And then once you've reached that goal, and that you've accomplished it, pick something from the jar, because it makes it fun. Yeah. It's just, it makes it a really fun thing to do. So making sure you reward yourself is really important. And then I always reward myself after like a big goal with something really big.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't be afraid to use micro rewards as well. So I do this. I use a bit of carrot and stick. I'll be like, oh, I fancy a cup of coffee now. But you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to go and make one and have one until I've achieved this thing that I'm working on at the moment.
I think I do that naturally, actually.
Yeah, I kind of do it naturally. But I think I find a lot of power in that, like micro rewards. It doesn't always have to be the... You know,
try not to make
thing.
It chocolate.
No, not try, chocolate. It's simple as like, I'll go outside for a walk, or I'll just go and get a cup of tea. But I won't do it till I've achieved this thing.
And I think it's really important, just like I said, to make that work for you, whether it's, you know, achieving those goals in a week. Don't make it too long, but maybe a bigger reward when you've achieved something really, really big. But like James said, micro rewards really help too. So the next one is...
accountability. This one's huge. There's all kinds of research out there. You know, if we publicly state a goal, we're much more likely to succeed at achieving it than if we keep it to ourselves. ourselves. If we keep it to ourselves, it's easy for those little voices we're talking about to talk you out of it and then beat you up for having let yourself be talked out of it. But once you've made it public, you have accountability to others, and that is extremely powerful. The other thing you have, of course, is make sure that accountability is more than just telling someone. It's actually a support network. So you can put yourself in a community that's driven towards the same goals that you're going for. It could
like
be working
ours.
With a coach, it could be working with a mentor, someone that's going to actually hold you accountable to get you to where you want to go.
Yeah, and inspire you. I think it's really, really important that we have those people around us. You know, we always make sure that you've got people around you that inspire you, that motivate you, that believe in you. I think that is such an underrated part of success. And the next one is minimize distractions. So
pretty self-explanatory, really.
Yeah, minimize distractions. But I think there's so much research. There's actually a book that I'm reading. I can't remember the name of it because I'm reading it on and off with another one. But it's around being distracted in this modern day world and like how we can minimize distractions on our phone, on our laptop, around us. Because actually the research is staggering. The fact that when we get distracted, how long it takes us to get back into the task again. So, you know, one of the things I do to James is put an imaginary red flag up. this sounds really funny. An imaginary red flag. I say, James, the red flag is up right now. You can't distract me at all with any questions until I'm done with this task. But it's really important. Put your phone, if you've got something that's really important to you and you've got a task that just needs to get done and you're eating the frog with it, just, you know, don't have your phone even in the room, because again, there's lots of research about even having it in the room, you feel distracted. Turn off all the notifications on your laptop, turn your email off, you know, create blocks of time where you are not distracted. Go into a different environment as well. That's a really, really powerful thing. Take yourself out into a different environment. And the final one is the 10-minute rule. So I don't know who came up with this, but I've been seeing it around. Basically, it's when that little inner chimp voice is going, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, let's just chill out. Let's watch Netflix. Let's, you know, do whatever. Actually just saying to that little voice in your brain saying, OK, that's fine. I'm just going to do this for 10 minutes. I'm going to do this task for 10 minutes. And if you still want to play and you still want to go off and run riot and distract me with chocolate, with whatever you want to distract me with, then we'll have a conversation about it right now, about it then. But right now I'm going to set a timer for 10 minutes and I'm going to work fully focused on this task. And what tends to happen is because you've had that conversation with the inner chimp's, all right, well, in 10 minutes time, I'm just going to run right again. That's okay. So it normally just quiets down for a 10 minute window. It also makes you feel really empowered, and you're going to actually, you know, it's 10 minutes. It's just a tiny, tiny chunk of time. So psychologically, you're like, right, I can do that. But what tends to happen is you do those 10 minutes, you feel good about yourself. You feel a sense of empowerment. You've actually moved forward on the thing you really, really didn't want to do. Then what happens most of the time is people go, oh, I can just go for another 10 minutes. So they go for another 10 minutes and they have that same conversation. And 10 minute blocks seems to be psychologically an area from the research that is we're able to cope with that. And it really helps us overcome that original kind of procrastination because we're literally breaking it down into 10-minute time slots.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. And like that's that feeling of pride. And actually, I could keep going. That wasn't too bad. That wasn't as bad as I thought. I can carry on. And 10 minutes adds up.
Yeah, I guess I'll use a variation. I'm just going to get started with it.
Exactly.
And see how I go. And of course, once you get into it, you're like, oh, I'm going to carry on going now.
Yeah, but I think if someone's inner chimp is like really running riot, then just going, oh, it's just going to be 10 minutes and then we can check in and see how we feel. And the chimp's like, oh, okay, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We hope you found that useful, listeners. Like, we'd love to know, what have you been putting off?
Yes.
Tell us, what have you been putting off, and are you now motivated to apply some of these tips and get going on it? What are those projects? What are those goals? Tell us, team@themidlifementors.com.
Yes.
We'd love to hear it.
And hopefully it's also, you know, we all experience this. There is stuff that we procrastinate over, you know, more than others. I was saying to a client the other day, the spreadsheets, anything financial, it's just, I will procrastinate over stuff like that all day long. I find it just awful. But, you know, James and I do make sure, like, you're really helpful with that. That's the accountability piece. You know, we do make sure that every week we spend some time going over spreadsheets. And actually, my inner chimp finds this much less painful now because I forced it to do it.
Yeah.
I forced it to do it. Action precedes change. Anyway, so as Jane said, let us know how you found that. Know that you're not alone. Be compassionate with yourself, but get on. Get on creating the, you know, the life that you dream of, and stop letting procrastination stop you. Sending you lots and lots of love. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. You've been listening to The Midlife Mentors with Claire and James Davis.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. So drop us a line at info@themidlifementors.com with any questions or topic suggestions.
And make sure you join us on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. You can find us under The Midlife Mentors. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and don't forget to take the Midlife Reset Audit now to receive personalised insights into what's holding you back from living your healthiest, happiest midlife. So go ahead and take the audit now at themidlifementors.com/audit.